So joining us now is Bridget Carlin. Bridget is with Intel, but specifically she's managing director of the IoT Strategy and Technology Office for the IoT, for the Internet of Things group at Intel. Bridget, welcome to Innovation Navigation.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. So most of our listeners have heard of the Internet of Things, but it's one of those terms that seems to be spinning out of control. Everybody's talking about it. The phrase is starting to lose its meaning. How do you define the Internet of Things?
No, that's a great starting point. The Internet of Things, what is that? So the way we define it at Intel is that the Internet of Things is essentially where we are connecting everyday devices, where data, everyday devices like, you know, your phones, your appliances, your cars, machinery, everyday devices that are collecting data, that basically the devices are connected to the Internet, where data can be shared and analyzed to basically extract new insights or meaningful information. So it's connecting devices to the Internet, share the data, analyze the data, derive new meaning and insights from the data.
And so, you know, the go-to example that a lot of people use is the Nest thermostat, which does more than just let you adjust the heat in your house. It also is smart about when you're turning it up and when you're turning it down and so forth. What are some other examples that people might have seen about Internet of Things?
Yeah, no, the Nest is a terrific example. It's a classic example of an everyday appliance that's connecting to the Internet and now to your phone, so you can adjust the temperature and so on from anywhere. There are many, many examples, and I think as we think about the examples, you know, whether it's now connecting your car, so you know that you can start to use applications like smart parking, where now you are basically connecting to the Internet, and through location identification and so on, you can be instructed or navigated to a parking space, for example. But I think what's interesting is it to take a moment and understand that, yes, we're in this new era of technology, and what we're seeing here is that customers are starting to choose experience over product features and functions. And by that I mean that, you know, we're not so hung up on, you know, the factoids of a particular technology or a particular product. It's sort of the experience that we are able to participate in that's starting to, you know, be the deciding factor of what we choose. And part of that, I think, is we sort of summarize, we're witnessing three trends. And I think, if I may, just to kind of help us kind of all get on the same page, what we're seeing here is, you know, trend number one, we're becoming a smart and connected world. And that thermostat example is a great example. An everyday appliance connected to the Internet, and then you can navigate it from your smartphone. So becoming smart and connected. The second trend we're witnessing is that computers are gaining senses. And we call this the sensification of computing, where, you know, we used to see in 2D, now we see in 3D. And we're starting to, you know, our computer now will help us with, you know, gestures. It will help detect hazardous fumes. You know, well, basically we're getting these immersive, more sensations out of our devices. And then the third trend we're experiencing is essentially, you know, computing is becoming an extension of you. You know, where, you know, how many of us, you know, you leave a room and you forget your phone, you go back and get your smartphone. But we see the fitness band and the smartwatch, and, you know, we're starting to see the devices that we're using are now becoming an extension of either our activity or, you know, some version of how we're just now more connected. So I think with those three trends and sort of as we start to see the IoT, we're starting to see it's definitely now starting to take hold.
Well, there's so many things. We're talking with Bridget Carlin. She's Managing Director of IoT Strategy and Technology Office in Intel. There's so many ways that this could be implemented. You, like, even as big a company as Intel is, you have limited resources. How do you decide what strategy Intel is going to take in for developing IoT applications?
Boy, that's a terrific question. You know, I think it starts, so many things factor into a strategy, but I think, you know, one of the most important things is, you know, what problems need to be solved. We typically start at, you know, before we get excited and we love our technology, but really, you know, we're looking at to see, you know, what individuals, whether it's a consumer, whether it's a worker, whether it's a business, what problems need to be solved. And in the example of when we start thinking about strategy, our priorities really start with the customer. And so when we think about whether it's in a business or whether in a commercial setting, we're looking to see, you know, are there some opportunities for productivity enhancements? Are there opportunities to enable a new business model? Are there opportunities to help more sustainable resources for our environment? So we start to look at, you know, the context, if you will, of the situation. And in addition to looking for maybe opportunities to address problems, we always look for also opportunities to enable new types of business models. So it's really, you know, I think those are probably the two biggest priorities is, you know, what problems can we solve or what opportunities can we enable? And those really start the conversation.
So tell us some of the things that have come out of your group. How have you applied that to develop something specific?
So I'll give you a couple examples. Let's start with retail. All of us, you know, like to go shopping for that great pair of jeans. Well, Levi's is, first of all, they have fantastic, you know, clothes and a great pair of jeans. But as a retailer, Levi's, you know, like many retailers, have a challenge with out of stocks. You know, so they're out of the garment that the consumer wants when they walk into the store. And this is not just a problem for Levi's. It's really an industry retailer challenge of keeping the right product on the, you know, on the right shelf at the right time. And it's about a $1 trillion annual problem. So it's significant. So Levi's saw that as an opportunity, partnered with Intel, and we used our Intel IoT platform, which provides architectures as well as technologies. And together we put together an Intel Levi's retail solution that utilized essentially RFID tags that are already sewn into the jeans. So you may notice that when you go but try on a garment or something, you'll see a little tag. That's your RFID tag. And we used the retail our Intel retail sensor platform, and we essentially installed RFID readers throughout the store. And so at all times, these sensors can read where the garments are down to, so we know the eaches, right? We know what size, what color, where is it in the dressing room, is it on the shelf, is it in the back of the store. And we essentially were able to help Levi's identify where the garments were at all times, which turned out in terms of, you know, what did that mean for the customer, what did that mean for the store? It meant when the consumer was coming in looking for a certain pair of jeans, the clerk in the store knew exactly where it was and could help that person, you know, get the right garment. And then for Levi's, it helped them know exactly what items were moving, where they were in the store, what was sold, and how to keep the stock replenished appropriately. So that's an example of, again, you know, solving a problem, but really as it not only addressed a problem for Levi's, it also made the shopper experience, you know, a little bit better because, you know, the consumer didn't have a wasted trip and they found what they needed when they got there.
So Bridget Carlin, I can understand why you partnered with Levi's. Why did Levi's partner with you? What does Intel bring to the table?
I think Levi's was looking for a partner that could understand the we have a lot of technology available to us, right? This is another one of those challenges where you have so much, where do you begin? And I think because of Intel's experience, not only with understanding technologies, but having a proven track record of working with customers, not just in the retail, but in a variety of vertical business market segments, and helping them understand, you know, that before we start throwing technology at a problem, we take the time to understand the objectives of the customer, and then look at the variety of technologies that we have so that the experience can be cost-effective. It can enable a seamless experience for both the customer, Levi's in this case, and the consumer. So I think that they were interested in our track record and our ability to look across and make sure that the right technologies were assembled.
So let me go from the sublime to the ridiculous, Bridget.
Okay.
So say I'm a household goods company. I come to you. I say, I got some great ideas, and I really want to partner with Intel, and we can jointly develop these. Let's do the internet-connected toilet paper roll that automatically alerts you when it runs out. I mean, I'm just trying to think of a ridiculous example that we
right.
don't really need to connect to. We can just look and see. What do you how do you evaluate the wealth of different possible partnerships and development projects that you take on?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, because, you know, the bottom line is, you know, does everything need to be smart? Does everything need to be connected to the IoT? And, you know, so two things. Innovation comes from everywhere, right? You know, one of the things that Intel does is we sponsor America's Greatest Makers. It's on TBS. And it really is because, you know, we don't know where the next great idea is going to be. You know, where's the next Nest thermostat, you know? And so, you know, this is we are in such an exciting time where, you know, you want to make sure that you're spurring innovation, because it really is coming from everywhere in every corner of the world. You know, whether it's, you know, in a classroom, whether it's in a garage, whether it's on a farm, you know, a lot of ideas are coming from everywhere. Now, when you're thinking about what's, you know, commercially of interest, I think that's another thing that, you know, we need to be a little more open-minded that, you know, gosh, who knows, you know, did I ever think I needed, you know, a smart thermostat? But now that I have one, no, that's pretty cool. But I think you're also touching on something, yeah, you know, from the sublime to the ridiculous. Do we really need, you know, do we really need the toilet paper connected to the internet? I think there's another kind of equivalent analogy, and that is when we think about, you know, smart homes, because you start talking into things that will affect us. And one of the things when we first think about a smart home, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, do I really want to, you know, rely on, you know, a round trip of a smart light bulb, right, having to go to the internet and come back just because I want to turn on the light. You know, and if my connection's not right, that's going to be a problem. And I think what we're really addressing here is that, you know, we are, well, the IoT is big, and it is really kicking us off into this very exciting, you know, next wave of computing. We are still in the early stages. And so, you know, we still, you know, need to, you know, make sure that everything that we are connecting to the internet has the right level of compute capability, that it's got the right storage, that it's got the right ubiquitous connectivity, if we're relying on it to connect to the internet for functions. And I think in the early stages, it's important to discern, you know, where you are and what you're automating. So in the smart light bulb example, that's a situation where, you know, yeah, the conveniences of having a smart light bulb are terrific. There's efficiencies for that. There, you know, I can connect and direct the lights from even before I get home and while I'm still at the office. So I like that. But in addition, all the sensors that we're putting around are enabling us to create sort of an ambient intelligence into the smart home as well. So we can start, you know, it can assist us, right? So you can talk to the room, for example, and say, it's a little hot in here. Can you turn up the AC? Or I think I have eggs in the refrigerator. Can you confirm? So we're seeing technologies that are enabling these new experiences, and we didn't necessarily know we really needed them, but we like them, and they help us with some efficiencies and conveniences. So I think, you know, sort of, you know, my view on this is that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily rule it out. I think it's important to do, you know, some market testing and, you know, and that sort of thing before you throw so many resources at it. But I do think that, you know, we're in a point where let's let the scale tip toward innovation and sort of see what's out there. But again, I kind of go back to our opening remarks here, and that is, if you're solving a problem or you're enabling a new convenience or efficiency, you know, be a little patient, take a look and see if that's taking hold, because we are, you know, so much of this is new. And in the case of the smart light bulb, you know, I would say, gosh, you know, have the internet connection and the smart capability, but maybe you choose one that gives you both local controls as well as, you know, the connect anywhere controls, so that you have both choices.
We're talking with Bridget Carlin. She's Managing Director of IoT Strategy and Technology at Intel. And if you have questions about how to make your products and services smarter, give us a call at 844-WHARTON. That's 844-942-7866. You know, all this stuff, let's kind of move beyond the idea to how do you actually make this work? I mean, let me give you an example that I saw in one of my classes. We do a product development class, and we have the undergrads develop ideas for new products and develop prototypes. And one team did a really nice example of the connected umbrella stand. And this may sound ridiculous, but it actually was kind of cool that it would tap into weather forecasts, and you'd look at the umbrella stand by your door, and it would tell you whether rain was expected later that day or not just by flashing a different color. You know, if it was blue, then you didn't need the umbrella. If it was flashing red, and they did this with really nice kind of, it wasn't too harsh. It was just a nice way of indicating that maybe you want to take the umbrella today. Now, that was relatively easy for them to do. There were a bunch of smart kids, easy to do a demo of. But when they looked at commercializing it, you know, the whole kind of back-end interface, how do you make it easy to connect to Wi-Fi? How do you set up the interface? How do you, you know, the whole thing of making it reliably work again and again in lots of different environments was really hard. So once you've got the good idea, what do you do next to kind of make it not just work once, but make it work all the time in lots of different environments?
Yeah, boy, first of all, that is terrific. I am so excited to hear that kind of innovation. What a terrific idea. You see, that's a great example of, I love it, you know, the ideas are just, you know, they're coming from everywhere. So a couple things. I think that once we have the idea and we innovate the prototype, you know, there's a couple of things that I think companies like Intel want to make sure we're supporting. So we have things like IoT developer kits, and we have websites, and we have resources and, you know, documentation and different types of tools to help that innovation process go a little easier. So we'll talk about that in a minute. I have a website for you and things like that where kits and so on and support are available. But let me get back to your question. So how do you go from the IoT great prototype and idea to scale? And this is you know, quite I would say an important industry challenge that we are all experiencing. It's not just your team or your set of students. It really is an industry-wide challenge. In fact, one of the things that we all are starting to acknowledge, I think, pretty broadly, is that with IoT, because it is so big, there isn't a single company that can do it all. We all are aware that it really does, this is a classic situation where it really does take an ecosystem. And in fact, we're finding that we're partnering with, you know, people that may have been competitors or are now partners and vice versa. It really does take an ecosystem, because to take it from, just as you were saying, right, so you may be able to use a Bluetooth connection. You may be able to quickly connect to the internet. Okay, so that's great. It's great in this, you know, sort of controlled environment because I've got good coverage and you know, the sensor wasn't that expensive, and, you know, I could outfit this to the umbrella stand and so on. But now when you start talking about scale, and gosh, could this work in areas, irrespective of the location, could it work in other cities, in other states, in other countries, you know, across other types of communication networks and so on? And that's where, you know, to be honest with you, it is a legitimate challenge. But one of the things that I think that we start to do is, once you have a prototype, right, and once you understand, and this is all part of, you know, when you think about bringing a product to market, some of the things you want to be able to do is make sure that what you have assembled is something that is cost effective for, you know, the price point, if you will, and the cost are in line, right? So that you have a sense that, you know, you put this together and it didn't cost you an arm and a leg, and it's a quote unquote affordable. So whatever that translates, you want to make sure that the product is affordable. When you talk about its use case, one of the things that we're careful to do is to make sure that you've identified the conditions and the environment in which it will work reliably. And so when someone's starting to use this, and this happens with every new product as they come into the market, that as long as you're clear about where it works, I think, reliably, then it's sort of an awareness, I think, for also the buyer, that if you take it outside these conditions, you know, it may not be as reliable. But I think really the more fundamental point here is that I would advise that, you know, the kid that, you know, figured out the umbrella stand or whatnot, starts to look at partners that could value and benefit from that umbrella stand. Would it be somebody who offers connectivity? Would it be somebody who is a maker of the umbrellas and wants to, you know, add more features and functions to to an umbrella. A great example I'll give you is a partner of ours called Daqri, D-A-Q-R-I, and a company that basically took the old hard hat, right? The traditional hard hat we see out in the field where you guys, got guys climbing up a pole, they're on construction. They took the traditional hard hat, they added some sensors to it, they added an augmented reality platform and using our Intel RealSense technology with 3D capability, and they made a smart helmet. And you're thinking, gosh, did I really need a smart helmet? But here's how it's being used, right? We have the ability, in addition for the hard hat protecting the guy's head, we have the ability to, in real time, feed that guy a 3D schematic of the apparatus that he's working on. He has augmented reality, which means he can see his real world while he's working on the apparatus, but also see through to a display that also gives him thermal vision. But more importantly, we'll give him the schematic of the device he's working on and help him make sure he's, fixing the right part in the right spot and so on. So it's this notion of once you have the idea and you put the prototype together, there's all kinds of uses, but I think the best guidance I can give at this point is to look at who else could benefit from that umbrella, not just the person who's going to buy it, but somebody who would benefit from it being connected, the guy that makes the sensors, the guy that's actually selling the umbrella that wants to diversify his product.
Yeah, Bridget, we only have about a minute left. The thing is, as I was listening to that, I was thinking about the example of, you may have seen, of the bus stop billboard that got hacked and instead of broadcasting advertisements, started broadcasting hardcore pornography. And so how do you make sure that there's security issues here that are really tough. How do you make sure that that helmet is actually broadcasting, the right schematics and not some Rick Astley video?
Gosh, I'm so glad you asked me that question. I don't think we can have a conversation on IoT without bringing up security. It is one of the single biggest gating factors for IoT adoption, and that is security of the device as well as data privacy. And one of the things we're doing at Intel is we are integrating security at the silicon level. We feel not only do we have the opportunity to do that, but I think from a technology company perspective, there's a responsibility that I think that we all have to make sure security is integrated as deep a level, and in our case, we integrate it at the silicon level so that you have protection, you have the ability to know that it's this billboard on this street, and so yes, I know it. I expect it to come into my network. You have an immutable ID. You have the ability to do blacklisting and whitelisting. These are capabilities that we've got to make sure that are integrated into our products, whatever they might be, or we're not going to get the scale and the adoption that we're hoping for to go realize this terrific economic opportunity that IoT offers us.
And Bridget, did you say earlier that you had a website that people could go to for more information about this?
I sure do. For those that are interested in the opportunities to create and innovate, go to click.intel.com. Or we also have two other sites, intel.com/IoT, as well as software.intel.com. And there you can find all kinds of ideas, tools, developer kits, and support.
We've been talking with Bridget Carlin. She's Managing Director of IoT Strategy and Technology for Intel. Bridget, thanks very much for coming on Innovation Navigation.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.